sounds of the world. The sound with the beat, the sound that sets you tapping your feet. Radio, the sound of year-round pleasure. The sound of the news, rhythm and blues.
Tchaikovsky swing, whatever you choose.
Radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
Welcome to All Things Radio, your weekly radio magazine. With radio news from a national perspective, call letter and format changes, sports news, featured radio stations from yesterday and today, your voicemails and phone calls, as well as special guests and featured segments. And now here's your host, Bill Sparks.
Educates, syncopates, radio communicates, radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
Well, hello and welcome to All Things Radio 717 here on March 28th, 2024. Opening day for the MLB. That should thrill some people. Want to remind you, starting on Monday, 5 days a week, it's only a half hour show, but it starts at 8:30 on Monday morning, and then the rest of the week it's on 10:30 in the morning to 11. It's the Good Morning Legend show, and it's a show where we feature what's coming up on the Legend and tell you a little bit about that and talk about what's going on with you for a half hour every single day. We get your day started exactly just right. Well, Jeff, you're going
to wake up early Mondays and you can sleep in the other days.
Yeah, you can sleep in the other days. And Jeff, you can tell us what you're planning to wake us up with tonight.
I certainly will. And first of all, let's say hello to the panel. We've got our Indiana team in Indianapolis, Indiana. We've got Bernie Egan, I should say, and Bernie Egan and Bill Sparks. And we'll travel to Des Moines, Iowa with Perry. And we'll travel to Austin, Texas for Sean. And we've got Chris out in Quincy, Massachusetts. And myself, Jeff Bennett, here in little old Albany, New York. First of all, we'll start things off with our radio news from a national perspective, and we'll follow it up by Jennifer Sparks' call letter and format changes. Next up, we're going to take a listen to a feature that I think you'll find just a bit haunting, and I still find it haunting today. It was January 28th, 1986, when the Challenger crashed right after takeoff. And it was a tragedy that was just unbelievable. We'll talk about that after that feature is run. And then in my classic air check segment, we're taking a trip to Hartford, Connecticut, and we're going to listen to Dick Robinson on radio station WDRC AM from October 21st, 1965. And then we get to hear a little bit of the real Don Steele remembering 1968 from his syndicated show Soundtrack of the 60s, which he took over from the late Murray the K after Murray the K passed away. Finally, in my featured station segment, we're going to travel to Bayshore, New York, which is out on Long Island, and we're going to hear 103.1 The Wolf with its modern country format. That's all we got. That's all she wrote. So we'll try to, and of course, I'm hoping that maybe I can get to meet Caitlin Clark, who's going to be in Albany on Saturday with March Madness, but I won't even be able to get near the arena. So I already know that already.
Those tickets are really expensive, Jeff.
Well, I thought maybe I could sneak into the press box or something, but that's not going to happen either. I already know that.
She's arriving tonight. Go out of the airport and maybe you can find her.
Oh, and you know, I live really close. What time is the plane coming? Do you know, Sean? No, you don't.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know that.
Well, you're very little help for that, but that's okay. Well, anyway, I'm sure there's lots going on in Indianapolis with March Madness or any of that. And I don't even know what's going on, but we'll turn it over to Bill. And Bill, you can throw it over to Bernie.
All right. Well, unfortunately, I don't have any real radio news this week. They've been talking a lot on sports about Purdue and Caitlin Clark and the Pacers and a few other things, but there's nothing really going on radio. But I'm kind of looking. I remember one time on March 30th or one of those days, the day the Colts came to town.
Yes.
We had all that radio news.
That's right. It would have been 2000.
Big radio changes that day. It was a great day for changes, format changes on a Thursday. For some strange reason, 93 ZPL, that was just a big day for radio changes. And Bernie, I don't think you probably have anything. I see 1070 AMs going along just like it does, knowing that that's going to stop one day soon.
Well, I think it'll be interesting when Caitlin Clark comes to town. I used to do mornings, and we did a lot of stuff with the Fever. So back in the day, I met quite a few of the players. And, they knew my name if they saw me out and stuff. But I don't think that's going to happen anymore. These are over.
Well, it looks like that's where she's going to go, is the Fever.
Talk about females, Bernie. We did a thing last week about, on that lady. That her name was Marissa, and she did voice tracking. Yeah. And I want to know what any... I want to know what anyone thought of that, and I got some emails from people who said they liked it, and they were just astonished by the difference between each of the stations that I featured. So I just want to know what anyone thought of that particular segment.
Well, first I have to talk about local radio news here because Bill didn't get any local radio news,
but you did.
There's that company in Chicago. Company in Chicago called Relevant Radio.
Oh, yeah. Lord.
They're a Christian organization, and they they're buying up a bunch of kind of fringe Indianapolis radio stations. A lot of them are religious now already, and they're just going to buy them up, you know, if they're like out, you know, a few miles out of town.
They're converting them to Catholicism is what they're doing. They were Protestant,
they
now they're going to be Catholic.
Yeah. Well, you know what they say, be fruitful and multiply.
So what station do you think might be bought up?
Well, the one in Franklin at 89.5, I'm sorry, is one of them. There were a bunch of them, Anderson, a few others, but... I just never listen to those stations, so they don't mean anything to me. There's one in Noblesville at 90.9 that's going to be bought up.
God, nobody listens to those stations.
No, they don't. That's not even been a first song.
They are weak.
I should have listened to them.
They're weak.
Bernie, there's a good possibility I may be going to Bloomington this summer to visit a friend of mine who lived in Albany at one time. Is there anything I should look for in that market group if you've been there before?
Bloomington? It's a pretty progressive little town because it's got IU. I think what you should do is stop on the south side of Indianapolis and hang out with Bill and me.
That's right.
I've already talked to my friend Tim, and he said that is not beyond the realm of possibility. If you get
would be so happy. You would be happy to get it.
All right, let's get back to Marissa just for quickly. Did any of you guys listen to that?
Okay, all right. Oh, here's my assessment. I appreciate all the people voice tracking, all the stations they voice track, 10, 12, 15, 2, whatever. I just wish, you know, because what it does is it makes the pool more difficult for people to get into. And it's just kind of tough for me to applaud it, really. I mean, I know I voice track, but I only voice track for one station, you know.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if she voice tracks for a station, she can never do appearances, never do remotes.
Right.
You know, the local people never meet her. You know, there are people in this town who know, they see me and they know me immediately. You know,
yeah, that is an issue.
I think that's...
And if you listen to her...
That's the connection.
What's said to me about the fact that it is nationalized is that she never said to me, follow me on the OLF Facebook page. That's the one she does in Syracuse. We didn't feature that one. Or follow me on the 95 XXX Facebook page or Star Saratoga Facebook page. It was follow me, Marissa on the radio on Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah.
So, I don't think it's a job she'll have long.
I think it's going to be a lot more popular because if I can hire... Let's say if I can hire Bernie and say, Bernie, I want you to voice track for these 10 stations. I don't have to pay Bernie any health benefits. Bernie is an independent contractor. He could write off all his expenses doing the voice tracking on his taxes. And it's like the Uber driver and the Lyft driver. They're contracted employees. So yeah. I do think that
there are people who voice check, and they will be in it for the long haul. Laura Steele, who is from here, has been and does still voice check for several stations. You know, and she's a go-getter. She goes after them.
And what you did,
what I think was interesting about the way you guys both put that is you put it, Bernie, from the point of view of the worker, you know, and trying to get into the job and trying to do something. And then you haven't even thrown in AI yet, which is going to come down the pike. And then you're talking, and Jeff is like, well, I'm management, and I can do this, and I can do that. So that's exactly, you guys put it out there, not that you're having specifically a debate, but your comments were, yeah, you know, the two sides of the equation.
That's right. We're talking about the way that the future could be. I mean, folks at iHeartMedia, they've got Mark Coppola, and they've got a bunch of different, and they voice track for a bunch of different formats, and they don't even do IDs for each individual radio station. They record them a few different IDs, and they pair these things together. So you'll hear the guys say 98.3 WTRY, and Mark, and they put them together, and sometimes it fits well, and sometimes it doesn't, but most of the time, depending on what they're doing, it does pretty good, and they can save a ton of money. Go ahead, Sean.
The example here, I think you mentioned iHeart. Bob Pickett, he's on about 40, he's on most of the country stations by iHeart. He does it out of Austin. Yeah, I think he's on at least 40 country stations that I've heard, probably more. So, I mean, yeah, that's an example. He is an iHeart employee, though.
Hold on, Sean. Go ahead, Bernie.
Bringing up a good point, because these guys can be on 40 radio stations because the odds are they can use many of the same voice tracks on every station.
You know, that, every and they do. That's, you know, why the only difference is the call letter at the very beginning of when they go out of a song into the voice track. So that, I mean,
but see, that's why I think they really need to concentrate on local stuff for each market, and they can't because they're doing too many stations.
Mm-hmm. And depending on the format, like for example, if you heard that 95XXX in Burlington, they don't want her to talk too much because that's their format. That's a top 40 format, and that's what they do. I mean, and all the radio announcers are the same way. And she, by the way, she did not mention her name when she was voice tracking on that. And I listened to that for the whole time, even though she'd never mentioned her name. And I'm not sure why, but maybe because I don't know why. I can't answer that question. But she did when I heard her in Syracuse. And the funny thing is, I don't want to hold it up because I know we got to get going here. But the station that she was broadcasting for, WOLF-FM on 92.1, the owner of that station was the general manager of the college station where I started working at WJPZ AM in Syracuse, New York, back in 1975.
Yeah.
So, Bill, I'll turn it over to you.
You going to make me work, Jeff?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, wake him up.
I'm sorry, Bill.
Oh,
have another gin and tonic, buddy.
Well, I'll do something, but before I do all of that, I better say we've got award-winning news from Jeff coming up right now. We'll be on the street, off the street. We'll be everywhere, but Jeff covers it all right now.
I'm Jeff Bennett for All Things Radio, and here's what's happening in the world of broadcasting. This week it's all about the world of Christian broadcasting. There's more fallout from those iHeart layoffs. We'll let you know what's happening on the street and continue our look at the Nielsen February Personal People Meter ratings. The world of broadcasting and the world of Christian broadcasting makes news this week. In Chattanooga, Tennessee, the Radio Trading Network has closed on properties owned and operated by Brewer Media. The cost of the transaction, $900,000, and this is what the Radio Trading Network has received. WALV-FM, transmitting on a frequency of 95.3, as well as a translator on 106.9. And with the closing of this transaction, there are three format changes that affect the Chattanooga, Tennessee radio market. WALV-FM has flipped to a contemporary Christian format, the Joy FM format. WALV-HD2 has flipped to the Worship format, which is the Radio Trading Network's teaching and preaching format. And another translator on 92.7 was also affected, changing to a contemporary Christian format. Sirius XM Satellite Radio has also added two new Christian channels, partnering with Bill Gaither and Carrie Underwood. Channel 65, which broadcasts a Southern Gospel format, has been renamed Bill Gaither's Enlightened Channel, and Carrie Underwood has a special channel on the app only called Savior Sunday. And Carrie Underwood also has another channel on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 60, Carrie's Country. In other news, there was also more fallout from the iHeart layoffs that we told you about last week. In Seattle, Washington, they said so long to Jason and Jim, that's Jason Puckett and Jim Moore, Moore, who hosted middays at radio station KJR-FM, transmitting at a frequency of 93.3. They weren't fired or laid off by the company, but they were so upset with all the layoffs going on at the company and upset by contract negotiations that they decided to leave the company on their own. Another market affected by iHeart layoffs is Minneapolis, Minnesota, where the Dave Ryan Morning Show airs on radio station KDWB-FM. They've lost their morning producer and co-host, Drake Webb. Drake Webb has been with iHeartMedia since 2021. And in Atlanta, Georgia, another morning show affected by the iHeart layoffs is at radio station WUBL-FM, transmitting on a frequency of 94.9 with their country format. Gone are Brian Moot and Kimmy Karuba. Now let's take a quick look and find out what's happening on the street. Public radio is certainly not immune from job cutbacks. This time it's radio station WBUR-FM, owned and operated by Boston University. Margaret Lowe, CEO of the radio station, says they have to make a 10% cutback in their budget, and they're offering a buyout to individuals who are part-time and full-time who have worked for the radio station for at least 3 months. In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, iHeartMedia will have to deal with a union at radio station WUSL-FM, where the radio announcers have voted to join SAG-AFTRA, and iHeartMedia has entered into a collective bargaining agreement with the union. Reno, Nevada, Lotus Communications has dropped the classic hits on radio station KWEE-FM. The classic hits have been replaced with classic country under the moniker Hank FM. The format is being consulted by Kroger Media. In Minneapolis, Minnesota, congratulations go out to Zach McCormick, who is their new midday personality at radio station KCMP-FM, the current, which is a public broadcaster, broadcasting an alternative music format. Zach McCormick had been doing fill-ins and overnights at the radio station. Say so long to another AM station, this time in Billingham, Washington, where Saga Communications has surrendered the license of radio station KBAI-AM. They transmit on a frequency of 930. The programming that was heard on KBAI-AM will now be heard on two translators, transmitting on 98.9 and 92.3. In Vero Beach, Florida, iHeartMedia has rebranded radio station WQOL-FM to Coast 103.7. The station broadcast the classic hits format along with the rebranding. iHeartMedia has changed the playlist to an 80s, 90s classic hits mix. Finally, Salem Media has sold radio stations in Nashville, Tennessee and Honolulu, Hawaii, all broadcasting the Fish Contemporary Christian format. The buyer is the Educational Media Foundation, owners of the K-Love and Air One Contemporary Christian formats. In Nashville, Tennessee, the stations affected here are 93.7 WFFI-FM, 94.1 WFFH-FM, and 104.9 WBOZ-FM. And in Honolulu, Hawaii, the Educational Media Foundation gets radio station KAIM-FM, transmitting on a frequency of 95.5, also broadcasting the Fish Contemporary Christian format. Now it's time to continue our look at the Nielsen February Personal People Meter ratings. In Washington, D.C., the number one ranked radio station is WAMU-FM with a news talk format. The number two ranked radio station is WTOP-FM with an all-news format. Finally, the number three ranked radio station in the nation's capital is WHUR-FM with an urban format. In Boston, Massachusetts, the number one ranked radio station is WBZ-FM with an all-sports format. The number two ranked radio station is WMJX-FM with an adult contemporary format. Finally, the number three ranked radio station in Boston, Massachusetts is WBUR-FM with a news talk format. In Seattle, Washington, the number one ranked radio station is KUOW-FM with a public radio format. The number two ranked radio station is KKWF-FM with a country format. Finally, the number three ranked radio station in Seattle, Washington is KZOK-FM with a classic rock format. In Miami, Florida, the number one ranked radio station is WHQT-FM with an urban format. The number two ranked radio station is WAMR-FM with a Spanish hits format. Finally, the number three ranked radio station in Miami, Florida is WLYF-FM with an adult contemporary format. Phoenix, Arizona, the number one ranked radio station is KESZ-FM with an adult contemporary format. The number two ranked radio station is KSLX-FM with a classic rock format. Finally, the number three ranked radio station in Phoenix, Arizona is KUPD-FM with a rock format. In Detroit, Michigan, the number one ranked radio station is WNIC-FM with an adult contemporary format. The number two ranked radio station is WKQI-FM with a CHR format. Finally, the number three ranked radio station in Detroit, Michigan is WXYT-FM with an all-sports format. In the Minneapolis-St. Paul, Minnesota market, the number one ranked radio station is KTIS-FM with a Christian CHR format. The number two ranked radio station is KNOW-FM with a public radio format. Finally, the number three ranked radio station serving the Minneapolis-St. Paul, Minnesota market is KFXN-FM with an all-sports format. In the Tampa-St. Petersburg, Florida market, the number one ranked radio station is WDUV-FM with an adult contemporary format. The number two ranked radio station is WFUS-FM with a country format. Finally, the number three ranked radio station serving the Tampa-St. Petersburg, Florida market is WXGL-FM with a classic hits format. In Denver, Colorado, the number one ranked radio station is KRFX-FM with a classic rock format. The number two ranked radio station is KYGO-FM with a country format. Finally, the number three rock radio station in Denver, Colorado is KOSI-FM with an adult contemporary format. In San Diego, California, the number one rock radio station is KPBS-FM. That's the public broadcaster with the news talk format. The number two rock radio station is KXSN-FM with a classic hits format. Finally, the number three rock radio station in San Diego, California is XHRM-FM with an oldies format. In Baltimore, Maryland, the number one rock radio station is WLIF-FM with an adult contemporary format. The number two rock radio station is WERQ-FM with a hip-hop format. Finally, the number three rock radio station in Baltimore, Maryland is WWIN-FM with an urban format. In St. Louis, Missouri, the number one rock radio station is KSHE-FM with a classic rock format. The number two rock radio station is KLOU-FM with a classic hits format. Finally, the number three rock radio station in St. Louis, Missouri is WARH-FM with an adult hits format. Finally, in August, the Morning Boot Camp will present Kevin Ralston with the Kid Craddock Morning Award. Kevin Ralston's award-winning morning show is heard on radio station WRMF-FM serving West Palm Beach, Florida, owned and operated by Hubbard Broadcasting. The award is given to Mr. Ralston because of his success and his work within the community. And the previous award winner chooses the next award winner. And that previous award winner was Dave Ryan, who does mornings at radio station KDWB-FM, serving the St. Paul, Minneapolis, Minnesota market. If you have any comments concerning this portion of the podcast, there are many ways you can get in touch with me. First of all, you can send me an email. My email address is Jeff. That's J-E-F-F, Jeff, at allthingsradio.net. Or you can send me a voicemail with our feedback line. The phone number is 800-693-0595. That's 800-693-0595. And hit option 2 for the podcast team. For All Things Radio, I'm Jeff Bennett.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
Oh, very good. No problem. And Chris, we got some news that I talked about earlier before we all got on the air. If you live in Boston, Massachusetts, on 740, the memory station is on, and it is going to be run separately from the one we played on the Cape. And if you listen to the voice on that memory station, it's going to be John Garabedian, who owns the station. And they're playing pretty much some of the same music, maybe not as much of the older stuff from the 40s, but they're definitely playing some of the same music that Bob Bittner played on his radio station. So if you give a listen to it, you might want to tell us all next week what you think of it.
Yeah, I will. I will. And then the other thing I wanted to talk about is WBUR. You know, there's a whole different economy with public radio. And I had a friend who ended up getting a job, and she ended up working in Boston as a classical music DJ, but she also, and public radio, but she started in Worcester doing it. And she was saying how nice the studios were, even in Worcester. And it was, you know, a smaller market with public radio. They have, you know, they generally have a lot of money. They pay people a lot, you know, the on-air talent, et cetera. That sounds like, you know, and we saw them as the number three station in Boston. And so you say, well, they're doing okay. Yeah, but they maybe didn't hit their goal on the, you know, they set goals for their fundraisers, and they maybe missed it by X amount. So they ended up making a cut, but it didn't sound like a significant cut. It was people who hadn't been there that long and this and that.
Yeah, that's extra
people wandering around. If you listen to public radio news from a local station in a bigger market, you'll see they've got three or four reporters doing, you know, they've got their anchor, but then they've got three or four reporters around doing stories just like WBZ does.
And the other thing yep. is a lot of times those reporters around the town might not be full-time, but they might be stringers who might be working freelance or part-time. The other thing with that whole thing is that, yes, they may have met the fundraising goals, but the money that they get from the corporation, from National Public Radio, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, may not be what it was initially, because that money that fluctuates as well. So
it does, but that would be the kind of story you'd see on your newscast, like on an earnings report where NPR was paying the station's X amount less. You know, so each station is responsible for its own fundraising thing, and of course they're competing with GBH, so you know it like I always say, if you put the two of them together, they'd be at the top, I bet. But you know, they're competing with GBH, and they're rivals, and they're right down the street from each other, and they're both raising money out of the same pool. But you know, I would not hold benefits for BUR, because A, they're holding their own, but B, they are, you know, there was a minor, it's not like when a commercial radio station lays off the morning crew or goes to syndication or something like that, like you see, you know.
Well, they said there were three public stations in Boston. Go ahead, Bernie. Go ahead.
It just seems funny to me that they said, we're giving people who've been here for 3 months a buyout option. I'm like, 3 months?
Yeah, no, what does that mean? Maybe they got a diploma. Mine was that the state had to pay a lot of money for mine. I don't know what they got, but you know,
I just know that a lot of times when they used to cut from MS at our stations, they would cut from the bottom. You know, like you get these people who aren't making hardly any money. They're not going to help the bottom line at all. You know, get rid of some management people at the top.
Except that with iHeart this time, they were cutting people who had been with the company for a number of years. So it doesn't always follow that same
pattern. That's probably because they don't have any people at the bottom of the line anymore. They've gotten rid of all.
As I was talking to someone I know who works at WTRY, and I said, "Well, are there any cutbacks?" He said, "Well, what do you mean cutbacks, Jeff? We can't cut any more back. We're running with as few staff as possible. I don't see where they can cut any more people."
Yeah, I think the three stations come from GBH, BUR, and then you would count CRB, the classical station, because that's now non-commercial. Yeah, so that's where that comes from. That's a different category of GBH and BUR competing. They both run all things considered, and the morning edition and all that, and they have different other programming all day. So they're competing directly with each other. It's quite a battle, I'm sure.
I'm sure. Well, let's turn it over to Bill so we can get Jennifer in, because she told me that she wants to get her on self on the air, so she's very anxious to do those fall color and format changes.
She wants to get ready for the basketball tonight.
She didn't tell you that at all.
Yeah. She's got some baseball on, and she could care less. But
yeah, the Reds, last I knew, the Reds were kicking butt, so she's probably very happy right now.
She's probably watching the game, and who knows what she's doing, but
I'm not.
Yeah, just do those call letter and format changes. She has 3 minutes worth this week, a little longer than last week.
Oh, wow, compared to last week. Wow.
So we might have some major changes, and we don't even know about them. Here we go.
Right.
We'll be hearing about Indy pretty soon, maybe, but here we go.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jennifer Sparks, and here are your call letter and format changes for the week of March 28th. KXCA AM 1050, Lawton, Oklahoma, changes calls to KKRX AM. KKRX AM 1380, Lawton, Oklahoma, changes calls to KXCA AM. KYWL AM 1490, Belgrade, Montana, changes frequency to 1480. KREV-FM 92.7, Alameda, California, changes format from not available to variety and changes slogan from KEXP to KEXP, where the music matters. KRSK-FM 105.1, Malala, Oregon, changes slogan from 105.1, The Buzz, to Bella 105.1. WNYV-FM 94.1, Whitehall, New York, changes slogan from K94.1 to North Country Public Radio. WXJZ FM 100.9, Gainesville, Florida, changes slogan from Classic Hits 100.9 to 100.9 The Beach. CIHI FM 93.1, Fredericton, New Brunswick, changes format from Classic Hits to Hot AC and changes slogan from Rewind 93.1 to Hot 93.1. KVPH FM 104.3, North Las Vegas, Nevada, changes slogan from The Hustle to Christian Information Radio. WEJS AM 1600, Jersey Shore, Pennsylvania, changes slogan from Bigfoot Country to Bigfoot Legends. WLYC AM 1050, Williamsport, Pennsylvania, changes slogan from Bigfoot Country to Bigfoot Legends. WKNA FM 98.3 Logan, Ohio changes calls to WLGN FM. WXVU FM 89.1 Villanova, Pennsylvania changes slogan from Villanova Radio to WXVU 89.1 The Roar. And those are your call letter and format changes for this week. For all things radio, I'm Jennifer Sparks, wishing all of you a good week.
First time I've ever heard a little bit of expression from Jennifer going, The Roar. Yeah.
And that was funny. And that would make sense because Villanova is the Wildcats, so that would make sense.
And 1050 was a big AM frequency that I heard that mentioned more than once. 1050 yep. Today, but it sounds like the same old things, just station swapping.
And don't think that Jersey Shore, Pennsylvania is anywhere near the coast. I just asked him to say it's 237 miles away from Atlantic City, so it's got nothing to do with that. Somebody who likes to think of the summer when they're in their hometown or something. I don't know.
No, if you want to think of the summer and you want to go out to the Jersey Shore, you want to be where everyone is, you go to Wildwood. You know, Wildwood.
Oh, that's right. Bobby Rydell song there. Nice song.
That's right. Wildwood. Yeah. I've been out there. It's beautiful out there in the summertime. It's very nice.
Good radio reception, too. You can get stuff from all up and down. Jerry has told us that he used to get BZ in the daytime there, right on the Jersey Shore.
Right on the shore with all the conductivity from the water and stuff. It's great AM reception. I can tell you that. I've been there before. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. It just seems to me that formats aren't as exciting when they change them. We just got a format change in Albany, New York, on 103.9, which was so the Breeze. They've dropped that moniker, and they've gone to an I guess they called it a hot adult contemporary format, but it sounds more like a top 40 recurrent format or oldies top 40, I guess it is. And they call themselves Zoe FM. So
okay.
Well, the big thing these days is to give the radio station names. You've got Alice FM. You've got FM. You've got I don't know. But I'm just thinking of Alice and Steve. Those are the two that I know of.
Bob and Jack.
Bob and Jack.
We had Lucy here for a while. There was Lucy.
And so Zoe? Well,
you know, I've never heard a translator sound good.
What's that, Bernie?
Sorry, Bernie.
Thing about the... that's okay. The format changes. They're not exciting. I mean, even the liners, like... You know, Jennifer said, this station changed from this format to this format where the music matters. It's like, oh, the music didn't matter before, and now it does.
Right.
You know, and it's just like this this company, Relevant Radio, that's moving into a few stations here. I think they should have a slogan that says, we're Relevant Radio. All the other stations are Irrelevant Radio.
Yeah, there you go.
What about when WTRY got a new program director and manager in, and they fired the staff, and they said, "Well, we're WTRY, and we play strong oldies." What's a strong oldie? I mean, every oldie should be a strong oldie. What are they talking?
That doesn't mean anything to the average listener at all. That doesn't mean a thing to them.
No,
you know,
just a slogan. But I've never seen a public radio that was country. I don't think.
Not on the over the air, but Heartland Public Radio has those two country stations, but they're internet only, so HBR1 and HBR2, but
over
they're
the
not
air,
over the air.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, they're not over the air. That's the closest I've seen.
I'll tell you, I don't really listen to much public radio, except sometimes I'll listen to the alternative ones, like The Current out in Minnesota. I do listen to them occasionally, but again...
Huh?
Again, it's a totally new world. I mean, if you really like to listen to radio and you like to listen to all kinds of crazy different kind of music that you've never heard before, you know, listen to those stations.
Well, our 98.9 here, they're owned by KUT, but it's KUTX. They're kind of the AAA format. You'll hear blues, you'll hear jazz. They have a good oldies show on there. They have a really good oldies show, and they got like some R&B stuff. I mean, they have a wide variety on there. So.
We have the same thing on exit 97.7 WEXTFM in licensed to Amsterdam, New York, and it's the same thing as well, Sean. So
exit 97, I mean, turn it off.
Sometimes I've heard the program and it's good, but it's not good. Then I say exit stage left, and I turn the dial.
Yeah, really.
There you go. It's up to the program on those stations. It's up to each, I guess, whoever's doing it, how good it is. Some, like I said, it's hit and miss, but I mean, you get some pretty good stuff on those stations, on those NPR music stations sometimes.
That's true. Well, all I can say is that radio will change, but I wonder, I still say that 20 years or 30 years from now, if I don't know that I'll be around, I'm not going to be alive 30 years from now, but if 20 years from now, if I'm still alive, what will I be thinking of radio at that point? And I can't answer that question. I don't think any of us can. But it definitely is in some sort of transition. But what will it transition to? We just don't know.
You'll be part of the memory.
20 years ago, we wouldn't have expected the devices we can talk to and the people to be able to get the radio on their phones and this and that.
Right.
So, you know,
you'll be the memory station, Jeff. Yeah.
Well, we'll all be the memory station. We'll be trying to remember what we were talking about.
There's only from the
24.
Yeah, the oldies from the 2010s and the 2020s.
Oh, I was going to say that memory station is really the music for your life, Chris. That's for our age group rather than my parents' age
group. Oh, correct. That's exactly right, and that's why he you know, it's non-commercial and nobody's ever subscribed to a book or anything. That's why it's popular. You get into the ride or whatever, and you have one of the older drivers, and they have it on. You know, I've always done that. So, and you know, it wasn't the best signal, and it would fade depending on where you were going, but it was people enjoyed it.
This is true. Go ahead, Jerry. What would you like to say to us?
Well, I have a question. Well, I want to ask, first of all, does that memory station, do they stream, and what are their call letters?
They are 740. They are WJIB AM, and I don't have the website that streams in front of me. I will talk about it on next week's radio news, and I definitely will provide you with the website. Okay, Jerry?
Okay, yeah. Well, I want to be able to hear it on my devices.
Yeah, I don't think they're on the devices yet.
They may not be on the devices just yet, because that takes some work. That takes some work on the radio station's part. Go ahead.
Secondly, one of our stations is streaming now. WCCS, it just opened up a skill on Alexa, and you tell your Lady A to play WCCS radio skill, and it welcomes you in. And I think you'd like the morning show, Jeff, for a small market. This guy, Todd Marino, he's on from 6 to 10. He has authors of books on his show and all kinds of things. And he's always reading stuff from the internet, all kinds of things.
What's the rest of the format for the station?
It's conservative talk. It has like polka show on weekends, and it has oldies on Saturday morning, and some local stuff having to do with the. Now, they're not allowed to do, like, the pirate games online, but you can get it on the regular terrestrial radio.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Jerry. We appreciate it. Thank you very much. There we go.
All right.
I'll take a listen to that station.
Sounds good. Well, how about us going back in time, Jeff?
Well, I think so. We could talk about what we were doing and what happened. It's January 28th. 1986.
What day was that on, Chris? A Wednesday?
That was a Wednesday.
Tuesday morning.
Tuesday.
Right.
I thought it was Tuesday. The
thing I remember about it was, we of course, Kristen McAuliffe was going up, and she was originally from Natick, Massachusetts, and taught in New Hampshire, and so it was a real big New England story. So they had the two big stories that night on the Saturday night. I remember watching the Channel 5 news. Were the Patriots about to go to the Super Bowl, their first one against the Bears, where they got clobbered 46-10. And then the other, they switched over to folks at Cape Kennedy who were talking about Krista McAuliffe and all that. And, you know, then 2 days later, and she was so vibrant and everything. You heard interviews with her, and she was really very articulate and very smart and really was going to do a great job up there. And it just was so sad.
Yeah, I was very, very sad. I thought it was on a Tuesday. I kept thinking it wasn't on a Wednesday. It was a Tuesday morning,
just
about 11.
Time. It was about 11:30, 12 Eastern time, and because
We were at work, and I knew when the launch was going to be, so I did was listening.
I stopped
work, and I put it on my little radio.
To be totally honest, with you, Chris, and to put it in perspective, it was in the Eastern time zone. It would have been 11:43 Eastern.
There you go.
I know that because I was between schools. I was going from the blind school to the public school, and I get to the public school, and you know it's between classes. Everything was quiet. I'm like, I've never seen a public school that quiet. But
you know
my
what,
science teacher came up to me and she said, "All in the library, the Challenger just blew up."
Wow. And you know what? We can talk about this afterwards. But I remember they actually took a cover of what was going on in the assembly in the school in New Hampshire where she taught, and all of a sudden it blows up, and these kids, all kids will move to their classroom. And they didn't know what to say to the kids. The kids all got to see this, hoping to be a glorious time, and it wasn't glorious, as you know. So
they certainly, Jeff, got the media out of there in a hurry, didn't they?
They certainly did. I remember hearing that and watching that on television. But Bill, why don't we hear what it sounds like with Vic from ABC Radio?
Okay,
here we go.
8, 7, 6. We have main engine start. 4, 3, 2, 1. And liftoff of the 25th Space Shuttle mission, and it is cleared the tower.
Pieces of ice tumble off as the coldest space shuttle launch ever gets underway. Challenger seems to shake herself free of the ice and goes. All 5 rocket engines burning well. The first teacher, Krista McAuliffe, on her way to space with 6 other astronauts on board.
Hearing shortly from John Lawrence in Houston.
Straight up into a beautiful blue sky, crystal clear weather here in Florida, although it's very cold. Everything going well.
Velocity 2,257 feet per second. Altitude 4.3 nautical miles, downrange distance 3 nautical miles.
And across from me, hundreds of school kids jumping up and down and cheering as this space shuttle takes off with teacher Krista McAuliffe on board.
Go and throttle up.
And that means the engines are running well. 2.5 minutes into the flight, the solid rocket boosters will drop away and we should be able to see it.
What's happened? What happened?
Downrange distance 7 nautical miles.
Still going. Vic, did something strange happen then?
Something has gone amiss.
Something is wrong. We have a problem.
Nothing from mission control, but I could see pieces of something falling off the side as if one of the solid rocket boosters had come away early, Bob.
It's still climbing. The shuttle is still climbing, but there is a problem. There appears to be a serious problem. What's happening?
Not a word from mission control. Everybody here is open mouth.
Controllers here looking very carefully at the situation.
Where is the shuttle, Vic? Can you see it?
A major malfunction.
There is a major problem.
Malfunction. Something has gone seriously wrong.
This could be a major tragedy.
We have no downlink.
A major tragedy in the making in this shuttle mission.
We have no downlink is the word from mission control. Something has gone gravely wrong and the shuttle itself
it's disappeared,
has not
Vic.
Been heard from. Disappeared in a cloud of smoke about a minute
now
and a half
I see
into
a
the
very,
launching.
I see a very thin contrail, Vic, on the NASA monitors. This is indeed a tragedy. There appears to have been an explosion. Something is wrong. We see contrails dropping. Nothing from NASA.
And no comm link from the shuttle and no word from the telemetry that tracks the shuttle's progress.
Mission. We have a report from the flight dynamics officer that the vehicle has exploded.
We have a major tragedy.
That. We are looking at checking with the recovery forces to see what can be done at this point.
My God, a major tragedy. The shuttle has exploded. The Challenger has exploded.
On liftoff is not survivable. Still, Vic, we can
mission
see.
Control, Houston. Listen. We have no additional word at this time.
We are waiting, as you are, for more words, but I don't want to hear what we're going to hear, I'm afraid. My joining me here in our New York studios is Bob Schmidt. Bob, you saw it on the monitor. The
reports from the flight dynamics officer indicate that the vehicle
apparently exploded, and that impact in the water at a point approximately 28.64 degrees north, 80.28 degrees west.
We noticed that the solid rocket boosters are not due to separate.
We are awaiting verification from as to the location of the recovery forces in the field to see what may be possible at this point.
Bob, apparently there's nothing they can do. This kind of an accident, we knew all along, was not survivable by the crew on any shuttle, this one included. And this, of course, as you...
And we will keep you advised as further information becomes available. This is Mission Control.
As you pointed out, this is a major, major tragedy. Now we can see the smoke from that solid rocket booster.
The solid rocket boosters were not due to separate.
They were incinerated on the launch pad. This, though, I believe is the first time we have had an actual in-flight accident such as this.
Yes, it is. The first in-flight tragedy, and it's a major tragedy. A crew of seven. We have no, of course, indication of the fate of the crew, but it appears there's absolutely no way anyone could have survived.
Obviously,
on board.
Everyone there in Houston and in the Kennedy Space Center must be in a complete and total state of shock.
They are. We're just waiting for more word from Mission Control, the flight of the space shuttle. We see a parachute dropping now. I don't know if that's carrying an SRB. Watching our NASA monitors here, a solid rocket booster. I don't know who that could be or what it could be.
They had mentioned recovery teams. I'm sure they are either...
I'm Bob Walker with Bob Schmidt in New York. There has been a major tragedy.
The equipment, recovery vehicles intended for the recovery of the SRB in the general area.
Here is a bulletin here from United Press International Space Shuttle Challenger Experience.
Believed to be paramedics going into that area.
Experienced an explosion 2 minutes after liftoff today, veered wildly out of control and fell toward the ocean, the fate of the crew not known. That in a bulletin from...
To repeat, we had an apparently normal ascent with the data coming to all positions being normal up through approximately the time of main engine throttle back up to 104%.
There was no radio contact at all.
That's about approximately a minute or so into the flight. There was an apparent explosion. The flight dynamics officer reported that tracking reported that the vehicle had exploded and impacted the water in an area approximately located at 28.64 degrees north, 80.28 degrees west. Recovery forces are proceeding to the area, including ships and a C-130 aircraft.
All I can say is I remember well.
I think we all probably do. Just one thing, Bill, real fast. Everybody always, why did that guy sound so, you know, just not, no emotion or anything? And the reason is, A, the name was Steve Nesbitt. I know they said John Lawrence, but it was Steve Nesbitt was the guy's name that was speaking. And he can't see anything. He's reading a screen in front of him, so he has no idea what's going on until they put that on his screen.
Yes, and also they're trained to be, and even though he probably knew the astronauts, they're trained to do that. If this ever happens, this is what you need to do. And, so we heard Vic Ratner in there. That was the name that wasn't mentioned. And, of course, he was a famous
Yes, as a matter of fact, before he worked at ABC, he was Victor J. at WMCA doing field reporting. So
he was the guy in Cape Kennedy,
Bob Walker? Bob Walker was the co-host.
Bob Walker and Bob Schmidt were the two guys at New York. Yeah.
Now, Bob Walker, if you remember right, Chris, was one of the anchors. I believe he was the news director at one of the TV stations during the JFK assassination.
He may have been.
Oh, in Dallas?
Yes.
WFAA or
yeah, I think
WFAA.
The other thing is they finally discovered what the problem was. It had to do with the O-rings and and the ice on the O-rings.
It was the coldest launch that Vic Ratner said it was the coldest launch they'd ever had. And of course, for Florida, by that time it had probably, it was noon, so it had probably gone up to 50, but there was probably still ice from
maybe a freeze the night before, something like
and,
that.
And the other thing that they talked about on the news is that when they found the, they did find the craft in the underwater, that they that these astronauts might have lived for a very short time, right after the crash. But we really never know. Yeah. But that was what was talked about.
Yeah, their speculation, Jeff, is they may have lived for a short time, but then when the thing hit the water as fast as it was going, that probably
they were instantly gone. Yeah, because it hit the water. That's what I heard. And because I just remember I was in, like I said, I was in eighth grade history class. It was towards the end. And she was videotaping it to show to her other history classes throughout the day. It was going to be, you know, educational. And then in the morning, and it was just like all of a sudden, and then the bell rings. And it's like, you guys stay here. Don't worry, your next class, you know, stay because let's see. And we stayed for like 10 minutes. And then she, it was just like, man, that, yeah, like I said, it was U.S. history class, and it was not, and the old TV on the old cart that they roll out.
Yep.
But it was,
But the other thing is they had to do major, major redesigning of how the shuttle was created, how the rockets were created to solve this problem. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Christa McAuliffe's family sued the government, but they lost the lawsuit. That I do know.
Yeah.
Yeah, they lost. They lost, yeah.
And then, of course, we had the Columbia in February 1st, I think it was, of 2003. Yep. Yeah.
And you know, luckily, though, neither one of them, I mean, we've lost them, but no, they haven't lost them in space. I mean, that's, I mean, I hate that, I'm not saying, oh, that, but that's right. The one, so they were able to recover.
Yes, I think in a way that would be even worse because, you know, people, like if that Houston, if that thing in May of 1970 had gone awry, you know, something like that, mm-hmm. Houston, we have a problem. You know, that would be, in a way, almost more traumatic than what it's terrible what happened. And one was on the launch and one was coming back. The Columbia was coming
back.
That's
right.
Interestingly enough, though, they were saying after the challenge or the Columbia disaster, they were saying on CNN that day that if they lose a shuttle, you know, or something happens in space, they can actually send another shuttle up to get the crew. So mm-hmm. that probably. If you believe that, that probably wouldn't have been the worst thing.
This is true. Walter,
that was by that time, but in 1970, with the Houston thing, with Houston, we have a problem. There was nothing they could have done because that was individual, you know, units each time. Yeah.
Walter, what would you like to say?
Oh, well, I was just waiting for Chris to get done there.
Go ahead.
I know, it takes a while.
Well, anyway, yeah, I remember that the Challenger explosion there. That I believe I heard. Well, I was at the Braille School at the time, and I think it was during the noon hour that I remember hearing about.
Well, you might have heard about during the noon hour, but it happened at 10:43 our time.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Yeah. Yeah. We it happened, but yeah, I think I'd heard about it during the noon hour between lunch and the next. Batch of classes.
Well, thank you, Walter.
I just remember, even in the cafeteria at lunch, because we had fourth period and then lunch, right? I mean, everybody was just, wow, because it had already started getting the word, because not the whole school had seen it. The history classes did, but they were taping it to show that it was already getting around, and everybody, and of course, our teacher did not show it to the other classes. She said, no, I don't think so. And then, it was just really, it was really somber and quiet in the cafeteria that day.
One of the things that people were very impressed, about 3 days later, they had a service for everybody.
They did.
And President Reagan came and spoke and gave a speech that people still remember. Yeah. And I know I heard it at the time. I thought it was very good. But people said that was maybe his, you know, we talk about Kennedy, Ich bin ein Berliner, and different things. But that was Kennedy. I mean, Reagan's biggest, best speech that caught the country's attention was how he related to everything that had happened.
All right,
it was good.
Thank you, Chris. Let's see what Don has to say, and then we can move on. Don, let's see. Go ahead, Don.
Yes, it's me. Say at the time that happened on that particular day, I was getting ready to go to CSUN. It's a college out here in Northridge. And I remember listening to the radio, KNX, and they were talking about the O-rings, and they had a delay, I guess, because the O-rings weren't working right. So I said, well, screw this. So I went on to call, went on and got on the bus. And as I was on the way over to the college, guy gets on there and he says, hey, the Challenger just exploded. Well, you know, I figured, well, you know, the guy's making a big joke and, you know, whatever. Well, by the time I got there in the student union, they'd already had a TV set up and they were showing the Challenger exploding again and again and again and again.
Oh, my God.
Well, just that's exactly what happened on network television. If you listen to the news all day or watch the news all day, they kept showing this over and over again. Thank you, Don. So it was a tragedy, and let's hope we never have to see that again in our lives. That's all I can say.
Right.
Nope.
Boy, Jeff, we're going to swing subjects now, aren't we? We're going to take another
I'm
going to
say we're going to talk about something that was much more pleasant in many respects. Because back in this 1965, man, I thought the world was just great. I was 12 years old, and I never thought that there was anything wrong in the country. It just seemed like it was like a time of year for me that was blissful, but it really necessarily wasn't. But you get to hear what radio sounded like when it was blissful.
Yep.
1965.
WDRC and WPOP competing against each other. 1360 for DRC, 1410 for POP. And both had great DJs at the time, you know, both stations. And they were really good stations. I used to try to get them in every evening when I could. And they're good to listen to.
Well, let's see what it sounds like.
They say that two is always better than one, and this week in my classic air check segment, we have two air checks for you. Let's first travel to Hartford, Connecticut, and listen to radio station WDRC AM and the nighttime radio announcer Dick Robinson from October 21st, 1965. Next, we'll travel to 1968 and listen to an air check of the syndicated Live from the 60s show hosted by the real Don Steele as we remember 1968. So without further ado, why don't sit back and enjoy these two air checks on this week's edition of All Things Radio Live.
Bizarre! Look at it, will you? $802.40. Good luck to you. What a wild night tonight's going to be. Hiya, Kiva Sammy. Dickie Robinson, will you? On a Thursday, October 21. These are the Wonderhoods, the Four Seasons, and Don't Think Twice. Your window, baby. There it is. Number 20 in the survey, the one the Who's, and don't think twice. It's going to be all right, right? All right. Everything's going to be all right. Don't worry about it.
Sir. WDRC in Hartford, where the fun is.
Okay, it's another Big D Thursday. We got on the show tonight Arnie Ginsberg from WMEX Radio in Boston, Massachusetts. He's going to be telling us about what's happening up there in Boston Town, USA. And throughout the upcoming weeks, going to have all kinds of wildness jockeys from the coast, Los Angeles, Chicago, and, you know, Miami, all over the world, so we can find out what's happening in their areas and check out all the big hits around the world. 8 minutes past 8 o'clock. We got Buckle Like Fun coming up. I hope you win a lot of money tonight. There's a lot to give away.
Remember.
Oh, Jimmy Jones, that handyman. Hiya, Jimmy. Okay, Jimmy Jones, everybody. He's a handyman. There he is over the corner now. Jimmy, want to start fixing that height right there, please? A young girl just broke her boyfriend just a little bit higher there, I think. Very, very good. In a minute, he'll have it all repaired, and you won't even dream about your boyfriend anymore. A little higher there, Jim. Now we get a saw here. Wait a minute.
Here's your man, Little Milton.
Things go better with Coca-Cola. You know that. 11 minutes past the hour, 8 o'clock. Sit back and let's swing tonight. We got a lot of coin to give away. Matter of fact, $802.40 is the phrase that pays jackpot. I hope you win that. We got Buck of Luck coming up real soon here.
Come on. WDRC in Hartford.
Oh.
Plays the winning sound of today.
It's Paul McCartney now. Yeah, it's all Paul. 812, the fun sign. This is called
Yesterday.
Number one right there, baby. That's it. Paul McCartney singing it for you. And it's 814, our fun sign with the home of the hits right here at WDRC. And old Dickie Robinson. We got a wild night tonight. Matter of fact, I'm going to start reading some of the great editorials of our times tonight. I'll tell you about that in just a couple more minutes.
Can you do the Mark Park sausages mob bit for me?
Dedications for you tonight this Thursday. Carolyn Patty, David Gale, and Beth and Greg, to Bill and Diane, everybody out there, Connard High. The air, guys, Connard out there?
Yeah!
Are you guys going to get all steamed up there, because in just a couple more minutes, we're going to have another great editorial. You know when people write editorials, whether it be for high school newspapers or for, you know, papers across the nation? You know, you read them in the paper, right? And they just don't seem right, just to read them. We're gonna read these things to you as if the person is actually writing it right now. And they're all steamed up. You know what I mean, right? You'll hear one of these great editorials of our time. Right after this one. I'm Dells, everybody. Okay, there's an OBG in the big deal, the Golf Platter Siesta tonight. It's called Little Honda by the Hondells. 8:18 now is our fun time with WZRC. Lots of cash to give away, a lot of coin to win. So, you know, what can I tell you, right? See the 1966 Ford now at Capola Ford, 722 Weathersfield Avenue, Hartford. Ford, you know, it's America's total performance car. It's totally new for you. See it at Capola Ford, and if not tonight, do it tomorrow. You got the guys here, and the guys are ready for this.
Yeah!
Is the world ready for this? All right, let's get one of our editorials written in here. It says, let me really get this now in the spirit of the person that wrote it, right? Okay, now listen. If there's one thing, can we have you guys warm up here for a minute?
Yeah.
All right, wait a minute. If there's one thing I can't stand on television this year, it's hullabaloo.
Yeah.
All right, let's go on here. It says, the most disgusting show, the disgusting show I've ever watched. It continues here. It says, as a matter of fact, when Hullabaloo comes on, my TV goes off.
Yeah.
I'll even go so far as to say that Hullabaloo makes TV a vast wasteland.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Well, hold it. Wait. I think something should be done about this terrible program.
Yeah.
It's signed the Jimmy O'Neill of Shindig.
Winner circle.
Well, 8:22, everybody. This is Sam Billy Joe Ron. I knew you won. Yes, I did. I knew this guy, Arnie Ginsberg, when I was back in high school. He was a big disc jockey at WMEX, and he's still there. Still there to this day. And he'll be on telling us what's hot in Boston in just a little while. Okay, all right. Let's go to the fun line.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, Janet.
Hello, Jan.
Hi, how are you?
There she is. The Rolling Stones are coming November 4th. You know, last night, as a matter of fact, tonight, we got some tickets to give away. Have you won any tickets yet?
No.
What's your dedication going to be?
To Sheila, to Dorothy, to the Stones, who will never get off my cloud. And I hope I win a ticket. Hitchhike.
Hitchhike? Oh.
Yeah.
Every time somebody mentions the title, I'm ready to do the record or something. Well,
oh,
listen,
the Stones
hope...
have that on their album, you know.
What's that?
The Stones have that out on their album.
Oh, yeah, I know that. Yeah, that's
the best version of it.
It is. It's just wild. They're too much anyway. I hope you get to see them, and I hope you get to see them here in Hartford, too, on that day.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
Keep your fingers crossed.
Yeah, I will.
Bye, baby. Bye-bye.
Where is Dick Robinson born?
These are the Beatles now.
Echo. Who is Dick Robinson born?
The Dickie Robinson Opera, 8:25 is our fun time. Here we are in the supermarket, large supermarket. And you see somebody going in now? Speaking of can't buy me love. I'd like a pound of love there, and I'll have three oranges and one of those cigars over there. No, 2 pounds. Or do you buy love by the quart?
Sir, you know what? I'm embarrassed. I can't buy any love here.
For the first time ever, a sneak preview.
8:26. We got Bucket Luck Fun coming up right now. Go up to Boston at the Arnie Ginsberg radio station, WMEX.
Hi, this is Arnie Ginsberg, WMEX Boston, saying hello to Dickie.
Number 2 in Boston, number 6 in Hartford, everybody.
Every time we meet.
Number 6, everybody, the Vogues, and you're the one I love. Arnie Ginsberg is our guest DJ of the 90s from WMEX Radio in Boston, Massachusetts, and he'll be around telling us what's hot in Boston. There's a record that's hot in Boston, and it's by, you'll never guess who, Simon and Garfunkel, and we'll hear that later on. 8:29 now.
I'm Chucker Faye, O-A-M.
Line weather.
And right here at WDRCA of an FM in Hartford, Connecticut, it's 76 trombones and the 76? No, 66. Stop that. What do you think you are? Well, anyway, there is 66. Doesn't matter, 786. And cloudy and mild tonight with periods of rain. Tomorrow going to be cloudy with scattered showers, the high in the 60s. And tomorrow night's going to be cloudy, too, right? All right, right now, at our time of town, it's double sick, Big D Degrees. Oh, yes, have my new Ovaltine drink. I have a brand new drink tonight. You know, I usually drink Fosco and Ovaltine. Tonight, I'm mixing it with coffee. Part Ovaltine, part coffee. Makes you yawn. But you just don't fall asleep anymore, right?
In the WDRC Winner's Circle.
Yeah, it's going to be a live night tonight. Hey, good group out there. We got Buckle Up coming up. Tickets for the Rolling Stones and Praise the Faith. Fontana Bass. Rescue me, honey. Come on, man. Do it now. Very good there. Fontana Bass and Survey 295. That's Rescue Me. Dickie Robinson doing it for you. 27. Come on. On time. Good evening to you. From the home of the hit.
The fastest fun in the air.
Hey, you know, right now you can buy a brand new Firestone Deluxe Champion White Wall Tire at our currently advertised price and get another just like it for half that price. Just imagine now getting Firestone Deluxe Champions, original equipment on America's finest 1965 cars on a half-price deal like this. And if you want winter tires, well, let me tell you right now, you can get the same deal on any size white wall or black wall tube-type or tubeless Firestone Traction Air. Both carry a nationwide no-limit guarantee against all normal and road hazards for the life of the tread with replacements prorated on tread wear at current Firestone retail prices. This offer ends Saturday, October number 3.
The year is 1968.
This transmission is coming to you approximately halfway between the moon and the earth.
You've got it. Apollo 8 now in lunar orbit. There's a cheer in this room. This is Apollo Control Houston. Switching now to the voice of Jim Lovell.
I can also see Gibraltar at the same time I'm looking at Florida.
And I will not accept the nomination of my party for another term as your president.
Bring an honorable end to the war in Vietnam.
The name of Spiro Agnew is not a household name.
The name of Hubert Horatio Humphrey.
Mayor Yorty has just sent me a message that we've been here too long already.
My thanks to all of you, and now it's on to Chicago, and let's win there.
As you said many times, many parts of this nation, those he touched have sought to touch him. Some men see things as they are and say, why? I dream things that never were and say, why not?
Oh, yeah. Who's making love to Euro Lady?
Kim and I.
The real God Steel.
Uh-huh. Me and Johnny Taylor.
Oh, you found him.
Who's making love to your old lady while you're out making love? You can always tell if someone's guilty when you ask them a question and they answer you like this.
No.
1968, The Turtles and Eleanor.
You gotta think about you.
I run to seek new policies. Policies to end the bloodshed in Vietnam. I run for the presidency because it is now unmistakably clear that we can change these disastrous, divisive policies only by changing the men who are now making them.
All right. I certainly hope everyone got their lyric sheet in the mail just in time to sing along with the chorus of this song. Here's you, Masekela, at Grazing in the Grass. Let me hear the horn section now. I'm the real Don Steele, live from the 60s, with a story now about a lady who was out grazing in the grass one day, found herself a little friend, decided to help him out, took him home to keep him warm. Mr. Al Wilson, with a story of gratitude.
On her way to work one morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's Mr. Felix Cavallari of the Rascals with today's weather report for you.
And I can't describe the word bliss, but I thought I could put it to music, and that's what that song, Beautiful Morning, was like. This, like when you get up in the morning, you just feel like yelling and shouting to the sun.
It's a beautiful morning. Oh, oh.
1968 will continue in a moment. On Live from the 60s.
Broadcast or duplication of this material without the expressed written consent will cost you a fortune.
Well, there you go. You just heard the real Don Steele with the syndicated show Live from the 60s, remembering 1968. And we started things off by listening to Dick Robertson on radio station WDRC-FM from October 21st, 1965. Now, if you have any comments concerning this part of the program, why don't let me know about it by email or voicemail. The email address here is Jeff. That's J-E-F-F Jeff at allthingsradio.net. Or you can call that feedback line at 800-693-0595. That's 800-693-0595. Ending option 2 for the podcast team. For All Things Radio Live, I'm Jeff Bennett.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
I love the real Don Steele.
I do, too. Yeah. I think he's great. And that show, as I said before we started things off, he wasn't the originator of the show. It was actually done by Murray the K.
No.
And then Murray the K had cancer, died of lymphoma, and they had Don Steele took the show over. And it was something that we would listen to when I was living in Syracuse every Sunday morning. It was like nonstop. My roommate and I would listen to the Live from the 60s. So it was a pretty good show. I really enjoyed listening to that show.
Yeah, I don't think we had that here, but it does sound good. And, you really, even as with all the actualities and things that he threw in, it was very good. You could really felt like you were back in that year as you heard it.
Anything that stand out for you in 1968 besides that, what you heard on that tape, Chris?
Well, it was just such a crazy year and such the assassinations, and we're having right now the same. This year is the same days of the week all through this year, and so it really brings that. Like next week is Thursday, April 4th. The day Martin Luther King was assassinated. So, these days come around and you think of them, and we know how crazy things are now. We're not going to get into that, but we just know that it was such an unusual year and such a year that started out. Everybody said, well, it'll just be a run-of-the-mill year, and it was so crazy. It got crazier as the year went on.
I have the tape of all of it because you always get to hear parts of it. But I have a recording of WOW. I think it's in Omaha, Nebraska, I'm not mistaken. And yep. They were CBS on CBS radio network. And when President Senator Kennedy was assassinated, I have that whole reporting of what was going on by that reporter in Mutual,
Andrew West.
And I never heard that whole tape before. I've heard pieces of it, but I never heard the whole thing. That is probably the most chilling audio that I have heard in my lifetime. It was just.
I actually heard it the next day when you would hear the highlights, but I did hear it the next day on the Wednesday, and I guess maybe it was played on Mutual at that point, but I did hear the whole thing, and it was amazing, and I was so much admiring him because he kept his head and he said, "Take a hold of his thumb and break it if you have to," or maybe he'd had some military training. But he actually knew something, not that anybody could hear him, but he knew something sensible to say.
And he said, and one thing they said, that was so chilling because my dad and I were listening to it, and he says, Reagan, we don't want another Oswald. That's exactly
that's
what he
right.
said in that,
yeah,
in that particular
right. yeah.
actuality.
That
and But you never good. Heard about him after that whole thing. But he was working for Mutual News back then. And that's
yeah, I suppose if you looked him up on Wikipedia, you'd find out what became of him. But yeah, he was very smart. I would have hired him to be some kind of an anchor or something right on the spot because he was using his head. He was thinking. He was, connecting the dots in the story. And no, I thought he was very talented. But I don't know what became of him.
And you may actually hear it on if you guys listen to, and I can't get them, but I can't find them, but I know they're on iTunes, and you can listen to the Golden Age News Network, and they may actually play that at the
They don't
point.
Go up that far. The furthest they go is like 1965 or 6.
Okay.
They don't go up that far.
Okay. Well, I just thought that was just very, it just hit me when I heard that whole thing a few weeks ago. So, Bill, I'll turn it over to you, and Chris, thank you, because you are a font of knowledge when it comes to some of this stuff, when it comes to history. I don't keep it in my head like you do, so thank you for that.
Hey, at least
well,
we can
no
go.
For anything else, it's just the way it goes.
Yeah, we can.
Here's the thing that here's the thing I didn't know, and that is that every day this year is the same as 1968.
Yeah, every 28 years, 40, 68, 96, and this year. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. It is. So and you can set your clock by that, and like I say, April 4th and the different days. Actually, a very significant day was this Sunday, the Sunday night of March 31st, when LBJ announced he was not going to run.
Yes, I remember that. I remember that as well. And the other thing is, someone asked me, and not that we're really religious, but Easter, of course, is this Sunday, but Passover. Yeah. Is not this week. It's not close to Easter, because there's an extra month in the Jewish calendar. So Passover starts on April, I believe it is April 22nd this year.
Yes, I asked Miss A about that, and that's what she said. And we have a reader who's a Greek American, and she said that Greek Easter is after that. It's actually, I don't know if it's in May or right at the end of April or whatever the specific date is, but it's connected. They always connect their Easter to Passover, so it's later than usual, way later than usual.
Yes, Chris, thank you. Again, I always kid around because I say, Chris, he doesn't know everything, but he does know a lot more than I do, and that's all I'll say. Bill, I'll turn it over to you.
All right, time for another ball game coming up here in just a few minutes, so, you know, we got to put our priorities.
Please help me get to meet Caitlin Clark. Please, I want to meet her.
I do have to make this observation. Everybody knows she is becoming like when they came out of school, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. She is the first woman, I think, who to just get into the popular culture before, you know, while she's in school as well as this. You know, some of the UConn stars and Tennessee stars and Brittany Griner almost was at this level, but Caitlin Clark has just
dominated
that, and
really
dominated the last year. Everybody's known who she was.
Yeah,
right. Thanks,
and
Chris.
You think about that, and like Larry Bird, for instance, went to Indiana State. You know, nobody went to Indiana State for sports. Larry Bird.
Well, he was at Indiana. You know, Bobby Knight was just being Bobby Knight, and Larry Bird says, "I'm not putting up with this guy." Got out of there.
Yeah.
He didn't. He drove a garbage truck for a little while.
He did. Drove a truck for a year and then went to Indiana State and started over.
That's what he did. Well, we're not going to start over, but we're going to end right now with, what is this station, Jeff?
It's 93.1 or 93.1, The Wolf. It's in Bayshore, New York, which is out on Long Island. They changed the country. And I'm not really familiar with country music. But when I listen to this country, it's very modern country, and it's more like rock, but it's not rock. It's country. You know it's country. But they changed the country, and they found in a study in focus groups, and Bernie, you know what I'm talking about when they talk about all these focus groups. Yes, country doesn't do well in New York. It doesn't do well in New York City, but it does do well in the suburbs of New York City. So out on Long Island and out of New Jersey and out in Connecticut, it does very, very well. And 103.1, The Wolf, has a much better signal than the other country station, which is on 96.1, all the way at the other eastern end of Long Island, which doesn't really go anywhere. But this 103.1 covers all of Long Island, so that's why they made the change.
Well, we're going to listen to it right now. Thank you very much, everyone. Tim is up in 9 minutes.
This week in my featured station segment, we're traveling to Bayshore, New York. That's out on Long Island. And we're going to listen to radio station WBZO-FM. The station recently dropped their Classic Hits format for a country format. And while country radio stations haven't done well in New York City, they have done well in the suburbs of New York City. So without further ado, why not sit back and enjoy 103.1 The Wolf on this week's edition of All Things Radio Live.
I woke up on the wrong side of the truck bed this morning with a bone dry bottle of Jack. Guess you could say I got what I deserve.
Making Wolf Tracks from Brentwood to Belmore to Bayshore. It's Long Island Country. 103.1 The Wolf.
to smiling with you every song. Every song. Long Island's country. The new 103.1 The Wolf.
Last night we let the liquor talk.
Its own country radio station. Welcome to the new 103.1 The Wolf. We'll play the best country music from Morgan Wallen, Luke Combs, Carrie Underwood, and more. Plus, we'll send you to the best country shows on the island.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome.
The Wolf will keep you happy and howling. The mark of the paw. The new 103.1 The Wolf. Long Island's country.
Come on now, everybody, get ready for a treat. It's time for stepping out for something mighty good to eat. You looking for atmosphere? Well, they got it happening here. They're doing barbecue the way it ought to be. Bring your sister, brother, sniffing an other. Bring all your pals. There's always something smoking at Smoking Al's.
It's March $12.99 Madness at Smoking Al's. Choose one of Al's famous barbecue dinners for only $12.99. Just mention it to your server or when you call in. $12.99 Madness every Monday through Friday through April 5th. Enjoy a choice of half baby rack ribs, pulled pork, pulled chicken, chopped brisket, or Al's meatless barbecue with two sides and cornbread for only $12.99. A complete dinner with two sides and cornbread for $12.99. For details, call Smoking Al's Massapequa Park, 516-799-4900. And remember, there's always something smoking at Smoking Al's.
There's always something smoking at Smoking Al's.
The new 103.1 The Wolf brings you another Flagstar at Westbury Music Fair concert update. Just announced on November 2nd, Celtic Thunder. On December 15th, David Foster and Catherine McPhee. Coming up on Wednesday, April 10th, Rain, a tribute to the Beatles. On Saturday, April 27th, Tommy James and the Shondells and the Grassroots. On Sunday, April 28th, Temptations and the Four Tops. Sunday, July 28th, ABBA, the concert. Get your tickets at LiveNation.com or at the box office. Part of the Catholic Health Concert Series.
It's country time.
Let's get this party started. More Wolf Tracks start now.
It's country time.
Long Island's country. The new 103.1, The Wolf. Open 631-955-1031. Let us know what you think about the new 103.1 The Wolf. Of the Wolf. Have a true respect and love for country music, new and old.
Treat your listeners well. Deliver what you promise. And don't promise you can't deliver. But always have a lot of fun doing it. Leave your mark. The Mark and the Paw. The new 103.1 The Wolf. Long Island's country. WBZO Bay Shore. Welcome to The Wolf. The new 103.1 The Wolf.
Don't look at me.
The new 103.1, The Wolf.
Yeah, I've been throwing down the whiskey. Long Island's country, 103.1, The Wolf. All right.
Get your wolf on. Long Island's country. The new 103.1. The Wolf.
103.1 The Wolf.
Well, there you go. 103.1 The Wolf, Long Island's country radio station, WBZO-FM in Bay Shore, New York. Now, if you have any comments concerning this part of the program, or if there's a feature station that you'd like me to present, why don't you let me know about it by email or voicemail. For All Things Radio Live, I'm Jeff Bennett.
This concludes another All Things Radio Live. Join us every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the latest radio news, interviews, caller questions and comments, station scopes, and more. Visit the show's official website at www.allthingsradio.net and visit the Legend website at legendoldies.com. Join us again next week for another All Things Radio Live on the Worldwide Legend.